Well, thank you for joining us for Northwest Worship today. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we just thank you for a time that we can worship together, even though it's online. And we look forward to that time, Lord, when we can see you face to face and experience worship as you designed it. And also when we can, as a church, can gather together face to face. So bless our time now. Help us just to seek you, hear your voice, and learn and listen and just love you. We worship you in Jesus' name. Amen. I read this statement recently from a person, I can't remember who the writer was, but he was commenting on the chaos gripping the nation today. You know, we have riots, protests, we're in an election period. Everybody, it seems very chaotic. And this person said this, people are being selfish and stupid. This includes politicians, protesters, people in general, they're acting selfish and stupid. And I think most of you would probably agree with this statement. So what's the answer? What's the solution? Well, the answer is today's title in our sermon, Embrace Wisdom. The country needs to embrace wisdom. Before the pandemic hit, we were beginning a study of the book of Proverbs, which is called wisdom literature. But when the pandemic hit and we went to online sermons, we decided to switch our sermon series to go through sermons that help us get through the difficult time. So now we are going to go back to our study of Proverbs, but now I need to refresh your memories about what we started with. So we're going to do a review. First, remember, Proverbs are principles for godly living. They are not promises, they are principles. Proverbs 1:1 says this, "This is the Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, for attaining wisdom and discipline, for understanding words of insight, for requiring a disciplined and prudent life, doing what is right and just and fair." So Proverbs are not promises, they are principles for living. If you obey the proverb, if you do this, or you also obey the proverb not to do something, it will make your life better. It will make you'll have a better life and a better future. So we want to obey God's proverbs for a better life. But if you reject God's proverbs, you will suffer the consequences of your bad decisions. And so we are studying Proverbs for two reasons. One, we want to gain wisdom, which leads to understanding. Verse 2 again, for attaining wisdom and discipline, for understanding words of insight. We have a great need today in our society for wisdom. We need wisdom. Too many people are acting foolish and stupid and selfish. Too many people are being driven by out of control emotions and selfish desires. Marriages are being destroyed. Families being broken. Friendships are lost. Souls are doomed to hell because we lack wisdom. Now understand this, wisdom is understanding how to use knowledge. So an uneducated person can be very wise, but a person with many degrees can be very stupid and very foolish because they don't listen, they don't use the knowledge wisely. We need wisdom to understand the why, the when, the where, the how of life. How does God want us to live? Which way are we supposed to go? How are we supposed to get a better life and a better future? We need wisdom to gain understanding and insight. That's the first reason. That's why we need wisdom. The second reason we need wisdom is to give us discipline. We need discipline, which leads to self-control. Verse 3, for acquiring a disciplined and prudent life, doing what is right and just and fair. As you know, Solomon, who wrote most of Proverbs, was the wisest man in the world. But he was also the most foolish man because he did not exercise discipline and self-control. He didn't listen to his own proverbs. So the question is this, if there's so much wisdom available today, why aren't more people wise? Why aren't they acting with self-control and being prudent? Well, it's because we lack self-control and we are driven by our emotions and desires and impulses. Wisdom is useless without discipline. What good is knowledge if you don't put it into practice, if you don't use it the right way? See, why is this pandemic spreading? Even though we know what we're supposed to do, why is this pandemic spreading? It's because we lack wisdom and self-control. Now, we all know we have signs in our church that say, wear a mask, social distance, wash your hands, but people don't do it. And because they don't do it, it allows the virus to spread. People say, we have rights. I have my rights. I can do what I want. I saw this story online or on the news recently, and this is a nurse, and she's telling a story about a 30-year-old patient who went to a COVID party. They have these COVID parties, and there they invite someone who has the disease, who has the virus, to come, and they bring in the sick person to show, to try to prove that the threat is not real, the threat is not serious. We're making a big deal out of nothing. Guess what? 30 years old, he got COVID. And then he got really sick. And it says, with his dying breath, he told this nurse, I think I made a mistake. Isn't that sad? He didn't exercise wisdom and discipline. So we need to embrace wisdom. We need to wrap our arms around it. We need to love it and treasure it and never let it go. Now, we also learned several months ago that wisdom requires a right relationship with God. We enter into the right relationship with God when we fear the Lord. Verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. Fear in this context is not, you know, I watched a dinosaur movie, where Godzilla movie, where Godzilla's rampaging through the Japanese town and the Japanese are running away in fear. That's not what it means. Fear has three different meanings in this context. We see it here. First, fear means to watch out for the Lord. You know, God is going to judge. God is going to punish. We don't need God's dread and terror upon us. We also see that fear means see the wonder of the Lord. Be in awe of God's creation. Be in awe of the face and the love of a little child. Be in awe of God's glory. And thirdly, we see that fear means worship the Lord with love and reverence. That means you know God is God and you are not, that you're grateful for God for giving you life. See, when we fear the Lord in this way, we can understand and appreciate God's wisdom. It gets us right aligned with God. Now, it's interesting, in the Old Testament, the Hebrew word for wise is used to describe people skillful in working with their hands, such as when the artisans created the temple and the tabernacle. They had to weave fabric together. They had to hammer out gold and make ornaments for the temple. And so that means wise is used to describe those men. So that means wisdom isn't just theoretical. Wisdom isn't just knowledge. It is something very practical and affects every day of our lives. Every aspect of our life must be touched by wisdom. It gives order and purpose to our life. It gives us discernment to know which pathway to walk on. Wisdom, when we are in a right relationship with God, when we exercise it, we will bring glory to God. Now, in the book of Proverbs, the word wise and wisdom are used 125 times. That's how important it is. That's the aim of this book, to help you acquire and apply godly wisdom in the everyday decisions and activities of life. And so as we go to this next passage, we see that Solomon talks about three different voices. He describes three different voices calling out to people. These three voices have good and bad intentions. Proverbs was written to make sure that you understand to listen to the right voice. And so the first voice is a voice of instruction. Proverbs 1:8, listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. They will be a garland to grace your head and a chain to adorn your neck. And so where does wisdom come from? Well, you know, you can gain wisdom from your own experiences. It's called trial and error. But when you go try to gain your own wisdom, it takes a long time to gain wisdom, because it's trial and error. And sadly, this is the way many people learn how to gain wisdom, if they survive their errors. Isn't it better to listen to the voice of instruction? And so in this passage, we see it says, listen, my son. You see that phrase over and over in Proverbs. It suggests that Proverbs contains truths that loving and godly parents will teach their children. They will pass this wisdom along to the children. They'll say, son, daughter, listen to me. See, this is the voice of a godly father encouraging his son, urging his son to listen to wisdom and obey what he hears. Note that it's both the father and the mother that are involved in teaching this child. They both want him to listen and to understand wisdom, not to abandon what he has been told. And so as we go through this book of Proverbs, you'll hear the words hear or hearken. Hear the words of God, the wisdom crying out in the street. And so we must listen to the voice of instruction. Now, Solomon uses this description in verse 9. If we listen and obey to wisdom, there will be a garland to grace your head or a chain to adorn your neck. And we kind of see this in this picture. What's the purpose of garlands to wear on your head or jewelry to wear around your neck? Well, it's to accessories. This is my understanding, but that's what women tell me. Accessories are needed to make you more attractive, beautiful, and handsome. And that's why they adorn them. And I don't wear anything. I don't even wear a wedding ring. My wife understands this. I don't like wearing accessories. So I guess I'm not attractive or beautiful, but that's my choice. But Solomon's saying if we wear wisdom, it'll make us more beautiful. It'll make our life beautiful. It'll make our life attractive to people. People will notice and stand up and notice that we are people of integrity who love God. It'll make life a more wonderful life. So we need wisdom, but we must listen to the voice of instruction. But the problem is there is another voice, the voice of temptation. Verse 10, my son, if sinners entice you, do not give in to them. If they say, come along with us, let us lie in wait for someone's blood. Let's waylay some harmless soul. Let's swallow them alive like the grave and whole like those who go down to the pit. We'll get all sorts of valuable things and fill our houses with plunder. Throw in your lot with us and we will share a common purse. See, parents have the responsibility to teach their children to watch out for evil men and evil women. If you do not teach your children the principles of living, guess what? They will learn them from somebody else. If you don't teach your children about God, money, sex, how to behave, if you're not an example to them, they will learn from somebody else. They'll learn it on the street. The world, the flesh, and the devil are waiting to give your children instruction. Instruction like this, come on, let's just rob somebody. Let's beat them up. Let's just take what they have. See, there's plenty of people today who want to teach your children to join them, how to lie, cheat, steal, and kill. You know, I watch every night about 100 days now in Portland, they are rioting. They are breaking store windows. They are hurting people. They're killing people. They're stealing property. And they laugh because it's so free and they want people to join them. It's easy money. All you have to do is forfeit your soul. You don't want your kids to be like that. You don't want your kids to join in. Verse 15, my son, do not go along with them. Do not set foot on their paths, for their feet rush into sin. They are swift to shed blood. How useless to spread in a net in Foolville of the birds. These men lie in wait for their own blood. They waylay only themselves. Such is all the end of all who go after ill-gotten gain. It takes away the lives of those who get it. See, it sounds exciting. It sounds adventurous. I read a story today about this one lady who was arrested for breaking windows and protesting. Well, she comes from a rich, educated family. She has a college degree, but she allowed her passions to deceive us. And so she's going to go to jail. She's going to be convicted and sentenced, hopefully, for a couple of years in prison. See, their offer sounds exciting, but it only leads to disaster. How tragic for a group of people to actually find enjoyment in committing evil. How foolish for them to think that their riches will make them happy. The wisdom is this: don't walk with the wrong crowd. If you're walking with the wrong crowd, you'll end up doing the wrong things. Bad company corrupts good character. The second thing is this: don't play with temptation, because temptation is always a trap. Solomon says, how useless to spread a net in front of the birds, because the birds know it's a trap. How sad for people when they fall into this trap. We should be smarter than birds. Then thirdly, in verse 19, it's saying that if you don't disobey God by harming others, you will only harm yourself. Sin always has a cost and a price to pay. Sin is a bad investment. The wages of sin is death. I've shared this phrase with you before, but it's worth repeating. Something to even tell your kids. Sin takes you farther than you plan to go. It keeps you longer than you plan to stay, and it costs you more than you planned to pay. Sin carries a heavy price, not just emotional, not just mental, not just spiritual. It carries a physical price too, because those pain, those scars can't be hidden. You know, we try to hide our addictions, our disease, our unwanted pregnancies. We try to hide our broken families, but it causes all of those things. As a pastor, I've counseled many different people, not as many as most pastors, because in our Chinese church, we don't like to share our problems, but I do counsel people. And I think one of the saddest things I ever experienced as a pastor was trying to counsel a young girl who wanted to get an abortion. And it's just hard to believe that she made this mistake. The sin cost her. She got pregnant out of wedlock, you know, unwanted pregnancy, and she wanted to get an abortion, and she wanted to talk to me. And I would not give her blessing. I tried to encourage her to have the baby. I said, if you have the baby, I will find a family to adopt her. I would adopt this child. Why don't you consider? But she went ahead and had the abortion. Sin cost you more than you plan to pay. When you embrace wisdom, when you embrace wisdom, when you're right with God, you know how to respond to evil people. You can just say, don't listen to them. Don't listen to them. Just say no to sin. You know, when temptation calls you on the phone, just hang up. The longer you listen to temptation, the greater the temptation. That's why telemarketers, you know, the people that call you on the phone, they talk to you like they know you, their best friend. They want you to listen to them. The longer you listen to them, the greater the chance that they will sell you something. So we need to just say no to sin. Just hang up when sin calls. The second thing we can do is stay away from them. Don't even get close to them. Treat temptation like a rattlesnake. I've run into several rattlesnakes in the desert. And when one rattles, I run away. I don't stay close to them. Don't play with a rattlesnake. Run the other way. When Joseph was tempted by Potiphar's wife, he just ran away. Don't listen, run away. See, when you embrace wisdom, when you understand wisdom, it's easy to discern the schemes, the strategies of evil men and evil women and avoid them. If you've already made up your mind to fear God, to worship him, to experience his wonder, to watch out for yourself, if you fear God, you're right with God, it's easy to say no to sin and walk away. Now, on the other hand, if you have not made up your mind, if you have not trusted in God, if you don't fear God, it's easy to be tempted. So do you listen to the voice of instruction or the voice of temptation? The third voice is this, the voice of salvation. Verse 20, wisdom calls aloud in the street. She raises her voice in the public squares. At the head of the noisy street, she cries out. In the gateways of the city, she makes her speech. How does wisdom speak? With a loud voice. She cries out for everyone to hear. She cries out throughout the city, in the marketplaces, in the gateway where they conduct city business. No matter where people are, wisdom cries out. We just need to listen. See, wisdom is everywhere. We see it in the glory of creation. We see it written in our hearts, in our conscience. The Bible is full of wisdom, and the Bible is the most popular and bestseller of any book in history. I have the Bible on my phone. So we know it's out there. You just have to listen. As followers of Jesus Christ, we should carry God's wisdom into our homes, our workplaces, and our schools, and share it with people. It is your responsibility to choose wisdom. Which voice will you listen to? Then we see our next point is this: there is no excuse for rejecting wisdom, because wisdom is crying out. And if we choose to reject it, if we don't listen to it, there's no excuse for rejecting wisdom. Proverbs 1:22, how long will you simple ones love your simple ways? How long will mockers delight in mockery and fools hate knowledge? If you had responded to my rebuke, I would have poured out my heart to you and made my thoughts known to you. So who is rejecting wisdom? He lists three different people here. I underlined it and highlighted. The simple ones. The simple ones just love simplicity. They're too lazy to learn. They're naive morally. They're easily influenced by the crowd. They reject wisdom. Then you have the mockers, and we see mockers on TV all the time. A lot of media people are anti-Christian. They mock God. They mock Christians. They don't care. They are defiant towards God. They want to ridicule other people. They have great joy when they ridicule other people. Then we just have the fools who hate knowledge. The fools are those who have hardened their heart to the point where they will never trust in God. They hate what is good. See, if they had listened, if they had just listened to the voice of wisdom, they had listened to God. Verse 23 says, if you had responded to my rebuke when God says, you're sinning, get right with me, I would have poured out my heart to you and made my thoughts known to you. If they had just listened, turned to God, changed the direction, moved closer to God, God says, I would have poured my heart out to you. God's love and blessings would have overflowed and overwhelmed us. You know, when my children, when they were obedient, when they were loving and obedient, when they were happy, I just wanted to give them everything. I mean, they made me so happy when they were good children who obeyed us, who loved the Lord, who walked with us. They made me so happy, I wanted to give them everything. Even my grandkids, when they're that way, I want to give them everything. So there's no excuse for rejecting wisdom. Then look at this in verse 24. Look how people have rejected God. But since you have rejected me, when I called and no one gave heed, no one listened, when I stretched out my hand, you ignored all my advice and you would not accept my rebuke. I mean, I can imagine God reaching out his hand and then slapping away the people. I don't want to listen to you, God. I'm ignoring you. I don't accept anything from you. Verse 26, in turn, I will laugh at your disaster. This is God's response. In turn, I will laugh at your disaster. I will mock when calamity overtakes you. When calamity overtakes you like a storm, when disaster sweeps over you like a whirlwind, when distress and trouble overwhelm you, then you will call to me, but I will not answer. They will look for me, but will not find me. Now understand this. You ever hear the phrase blasphemy of the Holy Spirit? Jesus talked about how that one sin is not forgivable. It is blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. This is an example of blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. This is a clear rejection of God. Note the four phrases here. Rejected me. No one gave heed. You ignored. You did not accept. These are defiant and definitive words. This person rejected God. And when we reject the Holy Spirit's conviction so clearly, we bring judgment on ourselves. This is what it means to blaspheme the Holy Spirit. And so in cases like this, when it is a clear rejection of God, God brings judgment on them. That means God is not going to wait until their death to bring judgment. They are lost right then and there. As a consequence of God's blessing, of God's promise, see, as a consequence of rejecting God's promise of blessing, they instead receive God's promises of cursing. Isn't that sad? You reject, you don't listen, you ignored, you did not accept. So God's saying when calamity comes, when trouble comes, they will cry out and turn to God. God, where are you? God will not answer. God will mock them. God will say no. They might run to church and ask for help, but God will not answer. That's a sign that God's judgment has come true. So instead of a compassionate God, a loving God who when we confess our sins and when we repent, he runs to us. He helps us. He lifts us up. Instead, God ignores you. And he laughs. He mocks at how foolish you are, how inept your wisdom is. Isn't that sad, brother and sister? I don't want you to be that way. I don't want your children or your family to be that way, or your family and friends. We need to listen to wisdom. We need God to answer our prayers. And when God does not answer our prayers, it's normally because you have rejected the Lord. So verse 32, our alternative, our choices. For the waywardness of the simple will kill them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me will live in safety and be at ease without fear of harm. See, the choice is simple. Ignore God and ruin your life. Maybe not right away, but down the line. Ignore God and destroy your life. On the other hand, you can embrace wisdom. You can fear the Lord, and then you can build a life worth living. Don't you want to build a life worth living? It doesn't come instantly. We need to take God's word, God's wisdom, apply it in our lives and start building our lives one word at a time. A life worth living is built on God's word and God's wisdom. But see, there's good news today. For those of you listening today, for those of you watching online, we live right now in the age of grace. We live in the age of grace. God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our sins. He rose from the dead on the third day to give us eternal life. And God says, all of your sins are wiped away. I pay your sin debt. Jesus paid your sin debt. I want to give you eternal life. So right now, it's not too late to put your faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior and your Lord. Listen to the voice of salvation. Listen to the voice of instruction and embrace wisdom. If you're today and you're confused, you're still hurt, you don't hear the voice of God, you have no direction, we want to help you. I'm ready to help you. I want to counsel you. I want to spend time with you. Never think I'm too busy to help you. I want to help you. God's word is powerful. I've used it to help other people find direction, purpose from the difficulties of life. Embrace wisdom today. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you that we can trust in you today, love you today. We thank you, Lord, that you give us wisdom. And by listening to you, by embracing it, by fearing you, Lord, by seeing your wonder, we can have a clear connection with you and understanding. Father, I pray if there's someone here today listening to the voice of evil, of temptation, that they will confess their sins and repent before it's too late. Because today you give us grace and the salvation and hope of Jesus Christ our Lord. So, Father, touch our hearts. Help us to carry wisdom into our workplaces and our homes and our schools to help people also, to call them to know you and worship you. Father, we worship and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Wisdom. When you embrace wisdom, when you're right with God, you know how to respond to evil people. You can just say, don't listen to them. Don't listen to them. Just say no to sin. You know, when temptation calls you on the phone, just hang up. The longer you listen to temptation, the greater the temptation. That's why telemarketers, you know, the people that call you on the phone, they talk to you like they know you, their best friend. They want you to listen to them. The longer you listen to them, the greater the chance that they will sell you something. So we need to just say no to sin. Just hang up when sin calls. The second thing we can do is stay away from them. Don't even get close to them. Treat temptation like a rattlesnake. I've run into several rattlesnakes in the desert. And when one rattles, I run away. I don't stay close to them. Don't play with a rattlesnake. Run the other way. When Joseph was tempted by Potiphar's wife, he just ran away. Don't listen, run away. See, when you embrace wisdom, when you understand wisdom, it's easily to discern the schemes, the strategies of evil men and evil women and avoid them. If you've already made up your mind to fear God, to worship him, to experience his wonder, to watch out for yourself, if you fear God, you're right with God, it's easy to say no to sin and walk away. Now, on the other hand, if you have not made up your mind, if you have not trusted in God, if you don't fear God, it's easy to be tempted. So do you listen to the voice of instruction or the voice of temptation? The third voice is this, the voice of salvation. Verse 20, wisdom calls aloud in the street. She raises her voice in the public squares. At the head of the noisy street, she cries out. In the gateways of the city, she makes her speech. How does wisdom speak? With a loud voice. She cries out for everyone to hear. She cries out throughout the city, in the marketplaces, in the gateway where they conduct city business. No matter where people are, wisdom cries out. We just need to listen. See, wisdom is everywhere. We see it in the glory of creation. We see it written in our hearts, in our conscience. The Bible is full of wisdom, and the Bible is the most popular and bestseller of any book in history. I have the Bible on my phone. So we know it's out there. You just have to listen. As followers of Jesus Christ, we should carry God's wisdom into our homes, our workplaces, and our schools, and share it with people. It is your responsibility to choose wisdom. Which voice will you listen to? Then we see our next point is this. There is no excuse for rejecting wisdom, because wisdom is crying out. And if we choose to reject it, if we don't listen to it, there's no excuse for rejecting wisdom. Proverbs 1:22, how long will you simple ones love your simple ways? How long will mockers delight in mockery and fools hate knowledge? If you had responded to my rebuke, I would have poured out my heart to you and made my thoughts known to you. So who is rejecting wisdom? He lists three different people here. I underlined it and highlighted. The simple ones. The simple ones just love simplicity. They're too lazy to learn. They're naive morally. They're easily influenced by the crowd. They reject wisdom. Then you have the mockers, and we see mockers on TV all the time. A lot of media people are anti-Christian. They mock God. They mock Christians. They don't care. They are defiant towards God. They want to ridicule other people. They have great joy when they ridicule other people. Then we just have the fools who hate knowledge. The fools are those who have hardened their heart to the point where they will never trust in God. They hate what is good. See, if they had listened, if they had just listened to the voice of wisdom, they had listened to God. Verse 23 says, if you had responded to my rebuke when God says you're sinning, get right with me, I would have poured out my heart to you and made my thoughts known to you. If they had just listened, turned to God, changed the direction, moved closer to God, God says, I would have poured my heart out to you. God's love and blessings would have overflowed and overwhelmed us. You know, when my children, when they were obedient, when they were loving and obedient, when they were happy, I just wanted to give them everything. I mean, they made me so happy when they were good children who obeyed us, who loved the Lord, who walked with us. They made me so happy, I wanted to give them everything. Even my grandkids, when they're that way, I want to give them everything. So there's no excuse for rejecting wisdom. Then look at this in verse 24. Look how people have rejected God. But since you have rejected me, when I called and no one gave heed, no one listened, when I stretched out my hand, you ignored all my advice and you would not accept my rebuke. I mean, I can imagine God reaching out his hand and then slapping away the people. I don't want to listen to you, God. I'm ignoring you. I don't accept anything from you. Verse 26, in turn, I will laugh at your disaster. This is God's response. In turn, I will laugh at your disaster. I will mock when calamity overtakes you. When calamity overtakes you like a storm, when disaster sweeps over you like a whirlwind, when distress and trouble overwhelm you, then you will call to me, but I will not answer. They will look for me, but will not find me. Now understand this. You ever hear the phrase blasphemy of the Holy Spirit? Jesus talked about how that one sin is not forgivable. It is blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. This is an example of blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. This is a clear rejection of God. Note the four phrases here. Rejected me. No one gave heed. You ignored. You did not accept. These are defiant and definitive words. This person rejected God. And when we reject the Holy Spirit's conviction so clearly, we bring judgment on ourselves. This is what it means to blaspheme the Holy Spirit. And so in cases like this, when it is a clear rejection of God, God brings judgment on them. That means God is not going to wait until their death to bring judgment. They are lost right then and there. As a consequence of God's blessing, of God's promise, see, as a consequence of rejecting God's promise of blessing, they instead receive God's promises of cursing. Isn't that sad? You reject, you don't listen, you ignored, you did not accept. So God's saying when calamity comes, when trouble comes, they will cry out and turn to God. God, where are you? God will not answer. God will mock them. God will say no. They might run to church and ask for help, but God will not answer. That's a sign that God's judgment has come true. So instead of a compassionate God, a loving God who when we confess our sins and when we repent, he runs to us. He helps us. He lifts us up. Instead, God ignores you and he laughs. He mocks at how foolish you are, how inept your wisdom is. Isn't that sad, brother and sister? I don't want you to be that way. I don't want your children or your family to be that way, or your family and friends. We need to listen to wisdom. We need God to answer our prayers. And when God does not answer our prayers, it's normally because you have rejected the Lord. So verse 32, our alternative, our choices. For the waywardness of the simple will kill them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me will live in safety and be at ease without fear of harm. See, the choice is simple. Ignore God and ruin your life. Maybe not right away, but down the line. Ignore God and destroy your life. On the other hand, you can embrace wisdom. You can fear the Lord, and then you can build a life worth living. Don't you want to build a life worth living? It doesn't come instantly. We need to take God's word, God's wisdom, apply it in our lives and start building our lives one word at a time. A life worth living is built on God's word and God's wisdom. But see, there's good news today. For those of you listening today, for those of you watching online, we live right now in the age of grace. We live in the age of grace. God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our sins. He rose from the dead on the third day to give us eternal life. And God says, all of your sins are wiped away. I pay your sin debt. Jesus paid your sin debt. I want to give you eternal life. So right now, it's not too late to put your faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior and your Lord. Listen to the voice of salvation. Listen to the voice of instruction and embrace wisdom. If you're today and you're confused, you're still hurt, you don't hear the voice of God, you have no direction, we want to help you. I'm ready to help you. I want to counsel you. I want to spend time with you. Never think I'm too busy to help you. I want to help you. God's word is powerful. I've used it to help other people find direction, purpose from the difficulties of life. Embrace wisdom today. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you that we can trust in you today, love you today. We thank you, Lord, that you give us wisdom. And by listening to you, by embracing it, by fearing you, Lord, by seeing your wonder, we can have a clear connection with you and understanding. Father, I pray if there's someone here today listening to the voice of evil, of temptation, that they will confess their sins and repent before it's too late. Because today you give us grace and the salvation and hope of Jesus Christ our Lord. So, Father, touch our hearts. Help us to carry wisdom into our workplaces and our homes and our schools to help people also, to call them to know you and worship you. Father, we worship and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.